This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope. Voice of
Hope. For today's Daylight magazine, we have Your Bible and You, Youth Corner, and Moments of Truth. I'm your presenter, Emanuela Brefumenta, welcoming you to today's magazine. Stay tuned.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope. Voice of
Hope. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is now time for your Bible and you.
For our reflections, we shall look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 to 24.
To the woman he said,
I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.
To Adam he said,
because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return.
Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. And the Lord God said,
The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever.
So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove them out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life.
Just listened to the audio version of Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 to 24. Keep this in your heart.
AWR, Voice of Hope, we will bring you joy. Keep hope alive.
Brace yourself for our next segment, Youth Corner.
We must leave beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you on. So afraid that you will not be found. It won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me, I'll lead you on.
Hello, listener. Welcome to your favorite youth program, Youth Corner. Today, we're having a discussion on the topic, when, how, and whom to date. I'll be your host for the show, Russell Mensah. And to have the discussion, I have with me in studio,
Esther Senkanta,
John Luis Opata,
Mr. Nsedu.
Mr. Nsedu.
Panelists, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Listener, we are looking at dating today. We are asking ourselves, when is the right time? Who is the right person? and how is the right way. Dating, it said, should be less about matching outward circumstances than meeting your inner necessities. That is somebody's opinion on what dating is, Mr. Ansedu. Let me listen to what your opinion is.
I tend to agree much more with the quotation there, with some few additions. Dating basically means to feel loved and then to be loved and also to love. Therefore, there's the whole big world out there. You have to find someone who is compatible and will be able to meet that love longing within yourself.
Esther?
Well, I tend to disagree a bit with Mr. Ansedu. Dating doesn't necessarily mean you need to find someone to satisfy your love longingness, like he puts it. I think dating is just getting to know each other. That's what I believe. Dating usually doesn't end up in marriage. Okay. And what we should know is there's a difference between courtship and dating. So Mr. Ansedu and I can go on a date. There's a difference between that and we going out, going steady, and ending up in marriage.
All right, but
let me listen to John's opinion as well, and then take the context.
Well, what Mr. Ansedu said and what Esther is saying, I might pick words from both of them.
Okay.
To me, dating, I would say, is just getting to know the other party.
Okay.
A long love, as he said. But when we want to go beyond dating, then we can say courtship. So there's a difference between dating and courtship. Dating, to me, is just getting to know each other.
Yes, Mr. Yeah.
Very important that we don't actually dissociate the discussion of this topic from the cultural context in which we find ourselves. Now, to the Western mind, when you say dating, there's a clear-cut dichotomy between dating and courtship, okay? In our part of the world, however, when you talk about dating, anytime you talk about going out with someone, the notion is it's towards something. And we shouldn't discuss, you know, have the discussion and take away our culture and society out of context. Now, the topic is supposed to be discussed within this context. We are talking about the Ghanaian, we are talking about the African, as it were. Now, do we see a difference between dating and courtship? For me, the answer is no. And so, when we are discussing this particular topic, I would like us to actually situate in that particular context. Whenever the African thinks about dating and courtship, he sees it as the same. Now, I have a brother, Vibrinti. Vibrinti will never go out with you unless he's expecting something. You know, you want that thing to end in something eventually. So, yes, I buy what Esther was saying in partly. Dating, as it is, there's a difference between dating and courtship that get you to know each other. But I want to bring it together here. Now, even when you want to know somebody, you don't just want to know somebody for the sake of knowing somebody. You want to know somebody so that if the person meets some expectation of yours, something else can happen. I never made a point that indeed dating necessarily has to end up in marriage. The point is, when I am dating someone, I don't just pick anybody and date. I'm looking for someone who I believe at least should have some qualities that will actually match up or be compatible with mine. And that is what I'm talking about.
So I'm gathering from what you are saying, Mr. Ansedu, that the protocols and practice of dating differ depending on the cultural setting.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
In the same vein, I could also say that you meet somebody, you want to get to know the person, the person becomes your friend.
That's right.
You start dating, dating could eventually lead into courtship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which could eventually lead into marriage.
Yeah.
And so basically, I find similarities in all that you are saying, in that you are looking for compatibility. Okay? Yeah. Sometimes you are looking for an intimate relationship in the end.
Yeah.
Sometimes you are looking for a spouse in the end. Okay? But the most common idea we share in our part of the world is that people are trying out a relationship and exploring whether they are compatible by going out into public settings together and then to more or less experience each other for themselves.
That's it.
Yes.
Is that fine?
Yeah.
So let's look at the formality attached to dating. How formal do you regard dating, in your opinions?
You mean how formal should dating be?
Yes.
Yeah. Dating shouldn't be that formal, because when it tends to be formal, you might not be able to move to the next stage, which is courtship. Because with dating, you just want to familiarize with the person. So formality is not that high during dating.
I tend to agree. I made an earlier point, and I think the panelist actually has brought me to side with it. And so if you are talking about dating as it's supposed to be, then it should be less formal. You get to know how the person is. Anytime you let a person know that you expect something higher than or more formal than what you actually expect, they tend to put up some behavior. Just to hide some part of themselves and all that. All you need to do is just tell a lady out there that I love you and you know how she'll behave towards you. She will start behaving differently and all that. So you want the person to be who he is, you know, in his or her natural environment so that to enable you to know who that person really is. And as Esther said earlier on, it is not necessarily with the intention to move to the next level, but just to know the person. That's the point. Then it should be less formal. The more formal something is, the more the tendency that people may hide their true identity. But let them be who they are. Let them feel relaxed and certain things will pop up from you. That's it.
Okay, Esther.
Mr. Sedu, you kept saying formal, formal.
Yeah.
How would you define formal? Because formal to me, or less formal to me, might be going out to the movies, holding hands, and to somebody else, that is very formal.
Okay.
So how would you put your formal so that dating is less formal?
Okay.
How?
When I say formal, it is not more of today, you know, as you call the modus operandi of what you do it, but as to, you know, the intentions. Now, for example, there's one way of asking you out. It's like, okay, Esther, let's go out, you know, without even realizing that, I mean, it's a date. Now, every time I have to take you out, I have to call you a week ahead of time. Esther, put on your best dress and then that, or I will visit your house. And then I tell Esther, Esther, I'm coming there the following Sunday. So you clean your house up, you do a house clean and all that. I mean, that's formality. But you see, once in a while I pop up, is that like, okay, in your house, I know who Esther really is. That's for me, that's less formal. I'm in a classroom with you, sitting with you. Esther, without even knowing today, oh, can I just take a stroll or something like that? Without preparing you ahead of time. For me, that will actually show your real self to me. Now, I am saying this because most of the time, before we use the word date, you know, I want to go on a date with you. And it gives some kind of formal touch. But we are dating people every time without even knowing. Okay, and for me, I prefer that. I want to be less formal. Person acts the way you are a friend to the person. The person doesn't even know you are dating, but you're actually looking at and knowing people. For me, that is it.
Thank you very much for that insightful contribution. So, listener, you've been listening into the first part of our show on when, how, and whom to date. And I've had this discussion with Mr. Nsedu,
John Opacha,
and Esther Sengansa.
Thank you, panelists, so much for being with us. Listener, tune in again to listen to the second part of this show. We are out.
This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope. If you need further information or study materials on issues we have discussed, please write to Adventist World Radio Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box AF 595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Or if you have access to the internet, send us an email through radio@vvu.edu.gh. Or better still, you can call us on +233 3070 51 058 or +233 2087 04 532. If our lines are busy, don't give up. Just keep on trying, for we are expecting your calls, emails, and letters.
AWR, Voice of Hope. We will bring you joy. Keep hope alive.
Everybody said that anybody could do. the important thing somebody should do. Everybody knows that anybody could do all the good things that nobody did.
Well, the preacher came to me and said what I ought to do. If I wanted to make my religion true, he'd do it himself. But he really didn't at the time. He said that the duty was mine. Oh, no.
Everybody said that anybody could do.
Not me.
The important thing somebody should do.
Not I.
Everybody knows that anybody could do all the good things that nobody did.
Why me?
Everybody said that anybody could do.
Man, if you want this job,
yeah? Everybody knows that anybody could do all the good things that nobody did.
Well, the deacon came by and said, give me a hand. If you want me going to the promised land, here is something that I don't have time to do. So
the only way to multiply happiness is to draw closer to God through His Word. It is now time for Moment of Truth.
On the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for.
Once more again, we welcome you to Moment of Truth. Beloved in the Lord, let us bow as we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, may you speak through me to reach every heart. Let your words be clear unto your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Moment of Truth brings you 5 steps to salvation. Beloved in the Lord, we all as human beings are falling short of God's grace and of His glory, because all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. So we all stand in the position called guilty. So it simply means every human being is guilty of one sin or the other. That is why the grace of God becomes important in our lives in the act of salvation. So the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 verse 23 that all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. So we are doomed to die. But the grace of God brings eternal life. Though we all have sinned and the wages of sin is death, it simply means no human being actually have inherited or possesses salvation. We need it from outside ourselves, and salvation is only found in Jesus Christ when we believe Him and take Him as a personal Savior. We do not possess it. It does not come by works, but it comes by the grace of God, and it's a gift of God given freely to all those who believe it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by His grace and by His grace alone. When we believe that Jesus can save me, no matter my situation, no matter how I'm lost in sin, no matter how sin have destroyed even the virtue and the image of God in me, if I can believe and turn back to Jesus, He says He can make me clean and make me pure and make me holy again. How are we able to do it? 5 steps are needed. 1, we need to believe in Jesus Christ. In John 3 verse 16, there the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Whosoever. It doesn't matter your situation. It doesn't matter the sins you have committed. It doesn't matter how far you've gone away from God. It doesn't matter how people have looked upon you and said you are good for nothing. But Jesus said, whosoever believeth will not die. He will have eternal life. That divine person, that God, Jesus Christ, died and gave His life as an atonement for you and me. Luke 19 verse 10 says, He came to seek and to save those who are lost. So if you think you are good for nothing, you are lost, remember, for your sake, Jesus came, and there is a Savior for you. That's a good news for you here at this point of time, that you have a Savior, because He came to seek people just like you and I. In Romans chapter 5 verse 8, there's good news there. The Bible says God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still lost in our sins, in our gossip, in our envy, in our jealousy, in our hatred, in our fornication, adultery, Jesus died for us. Not that we have stopped sinning, but his grace, his love was shown to us as in the midst of our sins. Jesus died to save somebody like me and to save somebody like you, beloved in the Lord. For that reason, we have to believe in his atoning sacrifice, that if I come to him, he will in no wise cast me out because I am a sinner. But because he died for me and he loves me, he will give me power to overcome my sins and to be able to live now a life acceptable in his sight. Romans chapter 13 verse 14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust thereof. When we come to him and believe in him, he takes control over our lives, and we are supposed not to make any extra provision for the flesh because we have become God's children. Number two, we need to repent from our sins. When you believe in him, you see how loving he is unto you. He says, my son, my daughter, repent. You say, how can I repent? Repentance itself is a gift of God. If you desire to live a new life, God empowers you and you begin to hate your very self, the sin that easily beset you, that you have lied in it for a longer time, you begin to hate it, and God leads us unto repentance. Acts chapter 2 verse 38 says, Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance is not a barrier to come to Jesus. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When we believe and we come, God gives us repentance, but we need to accept it. And when we accept it, he forgives us and he grants us his Holy Spirit. What is repentance? It is sorrow for our sins, a godly sorrow. And we turn our back to our former ways. We become new creation. When David sinned in the sin of Bathsheba, he said, God, create in me a clean heart and renew also in me a right spirit. Do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. When we come to God in the humbleness of our heart, oh, he transforms us. He gives us that willing spirit and he leads us unto repentance when we come unto him. Number three, we need to confess our sins. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, there Jesus says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, from all our sins. So when we come to him and we confess, we tell him all the sins that we have committed, our rebelliousness, oh, our anger, our impatience, whatever that stands against his perfect will, and we've confessed our sins unto him, he says he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Does not matter the sins you have committed, the promise of God stands true and perfect, unchanging, as solid as a rock, which never changes, beloved in the Lord. In the book of Leviticus 5, verse 5, Abu tells us how we ought to confess. It says, and it shall be when he is guilty in any of these matters that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. We point out the actual sin. If we stole something, we point it out. If you actually fornicated, you point it out. That very sin that you have committed, and God says, I, the Lord, I will forgive. Point number four, we need to be born again. To be born again is to be born from above. It's to be born by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 3 and 5, there the Bible says to each one of us who needeth salvation, truly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. To be born by the Spirit, to be born from above, to be given a new heart, a heart that hates sin, that hates all our evil ways, and to live in the newness of life. Point number five is to become obedient to the will of God. Ezekiel 36:26, the God says, I will give you a new heart,
a new mind, a new spirit. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, to keep my judgment and to do them. And as we follow this step by the grace of God, we are led into the path of salvation. May God bless you. May He strengthen you. In Jesus' name, this is your servant, Pastor Gene Y. Agbuadom. Amen.
This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope. If you need further information or study materials on issues we have discussed, please contact us on Adventist World Radio Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box AF 595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Or if you have access to the internet, send us an email through radio@vvu.edu.gh. Or better still, you can call us on +233 3070 51 058 or +233 2087 04 532. If our lines are busy, don't give up. Just keep on trying, for we're expecting your calls, emails, and letters. My dear listener, I believe you have been blessed by our programs. Keep pondering over lessons learned from our magazines to stay blessed. Enjoy the rest of your day. I have been your presenter, Emmanuela Brifumensa. Bye for now.